Hello, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, we're still here. I found out from our website engineer that Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag will be up towards the end of this week. They're working on, what is it called? What is it that they're working on, Kathy?
Oh, just so many things, but one of them is a different way to stream the show. It's all technical stuff.
Oh, and of course, I wouldn't understand that.
I barely understand it. In fact, I don't understand it.
But you understand it better than I do.
I understand what they're working on, but I couldn't tell you what they're doing with it.
Okay, so that'll be ready, I guess, by the end of this week. Also, we have begun the Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe series that will go on as long as, I don't know, we have fun doing it. The first one we will do tonight. And for the time being, they are going to be free. Well, they'll always be free, but we are going to include later editions in the podcast subscriber section of the website because they may become a little bit more risque, if you will, or maybe not. But the first one you'll be able to hear tonight during this first hour and also during the third hour, Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, written by Bob Alexander and performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. So stick around for that. Also, tonight we're going to talk a bit about the fact that there are some talkers on television radio, led by Glenn Beck, who are not only abusing their position on the public airwaves, but they are instigating the kinds of violence that seems to be erupting around this country with the multiple shootings. And you know this program. I'm not going to mince words. These thugs like Beck are the ones who are most directly responsible. It's a drumbeat across this country all of a sudden from Beck and Limbaugh, the usual host of people who truly hate this country. I don't know what their agenda is except some sort of fascist state. Or maybe they're trying to push the country into a convulsion of violence just because they think they can. But these are evil sons of bitches. Glenn Beck, Glenn Beck is a type that I doubt if there are very many people with a mind who would bring him a glass of water if he were dying of thirst. He's that bad. It really, Limbaugh is a rotund, obese clown. Beck is a threat, an absolute threat to public order. And as such, personally, if I were king for a minute, the first thing I would do would be to remove the son of a bitch from the airwaves and deny him, seriously, totally deny him permission to ever, or access to ever use him again. And before you send me your jerky little emails, you right-wingers talking about free speech only means that the government cannot inhibit your speech. Free speech is a qualitative product. It depends on what you're saying. Here in Georgia, if I call someone a son of a bitch, he has the right to shoot me. Literally, shoot me. That's laws on the books now. So, as I'm dying, I can scream free speech until hell freezes over, but it's not going to remove the fact that there are laws against certain kind of speech. Hate speech, speech that is used to incite riots, seditious speech. There's all kinds of speech that is not protected by the First Amendment. Glenn Beck has crossed the line. He's so far over into militia madness territory as to almost require somebody to pull the plug on his program, whether it's radio or television, wherever. It doesn't surprise me that the guys on Fox Channel But this is ridiculous. I mean, it really is. He needs to be, somebody needs this. Actually, what happens is somebody should take this guy out and, take him behind the bar and take his pants down and just paddle his ass till he can't sit down, since he wants to act like a booze-sodden child running around the airwaves inciting people to pick up guns and go kill cops. I mean, there is a limit. God damn it, there is a limit. You know, I get a lot of emails from people that say, how can you say God damn it on the air? Very simply, I just say it. You know, I would suggest to you, how can somebody like Glenn Beck incite people to take up weapons? Michelle Bachmann is doing the same thing. The pig man has always done it. Hannity is trying to dip his toe into that swamp now. Michael Savage is another one. The list goes on and on. All these right-wingers who infest the airwaves seem to do this for sport. And it doesn't matter to them how many cops are left dead, how many non-cops, I mean just people, are left dead, shot because some crazed son of a bitch is convinced that Barack Obama's going to take their guns, or they're going to be camps where our young people, that's Michelle Bachmann's newest, that this AmeriCorps expansion somehow is going to round up all the youth and put them in camps like Hitler Youth and reorient their minds so they'll all run out and get abortions and spit on the cross. I mean, there's some really sick people who are out there, not just in government, but on the airwaves. The ones in government, you know, you can ignore. There's always been nutcases like Michelle Bachmann in government. But these guys, and they're mostly guys, although you also have this frantic moron Michelle Malkin who adds her voice to the mix. But these guys on right-wing talk radio and television who should not be mainstreamed, they should be up on a website someplace. Go to Stormfront. Go to IHateAmerica.org or someplace like that. They should not be on mainstream media. This is a polyglot society, and there's an awful lot of people running around out here who, once they're off their meds, they're gone. And they very easily, thanks to the NRA, can go get heavily armed with no background checks, no licensing, no nothing, walk into a school or an old folks home or a church, like this crazy son of a bitch did at the Unitarian Universalist Church not so long ago, and decide he's going to kill the liberals. And this is Glenn Beck's operation. This is Michelle Malkin's operation. This is Michelle Bachmann's operation. This is all these right wingers. This is their operation. This is what they're doing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable that this kind of garbage, this kind of, this is not hate speech. I mean, this is not like going on the air and using the N-word or whatever. I mean, this is inciting people to commit murder. This is inciting people playing on their ignorance and their fear, the fear that the right wing has pumped into the society for 8 years. 8 years, just like this crazy Sarah Palin now is got her bloomers in a wad because Barack Obama has decided to pull some of the billions away from this cartoon Star Wars SDI thing that was born in Reagan's addled brain 3 decades ago. And she now, Palin, is saying, well, that makes Alaska vulnerable to nuclear bombs because of North Korea. Jesus H. Christ. What's his name? Inhofe is in, where's he at? In Afghanistan. And this crazy son of a bitch is saying that Barack Obama's, actually it was Gates, Secretary Gates, who was appointed by Bush, you moron, has decided to eliminate certain weapon systems that should have been eliminated decades ago. So Inhofe, Jim Inhofe, this crazed crackhead from Oklahoma who's in Afghanistan, standing there doing a video interview that's all over YouTube now, of course, picked up by all these crazy right-wing nut sites. There's Inhofe talking about how Obama is putting our soldiers at risk. These sons of bitches need to be silenced. They really do, because they are inciting, this is seditious speech. They want someone to take a shot at Obama. They want people to pick up guns and go into the streets and open fire. They want the kind of chaos. This is Hitlerian. This is how you get it started. You cause chaos in a society, and then that gives the government no option but to put down the kind of madness that these right-wingers want to see happen. You know, it's like enough. You know what I'm saying? It's a goddamn enough from these people. This is no longer funny. It isn't. And Glenn Beck should be the first one that's taken behind the barn and had his ass blistered and told to shut up, boy. Go back and play with your whiskey bottles and stop inciting people to go commit mass murder.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right, this is at Crips and Liars. I guess it was today's episode of The Pigman. A caller, a Snerdly, who screens his calls, must have been out doing a line of crack, or not a line of crack, but a pipe full of crack. Okay, maybe Snerdly's not a crackhead. A line of cocaine. When this call got through, but I want you to hear this. The person who sent me the link suggested that maybe a few right-wingers are starting to come out of the stench that Limbaugh has clouded the country from, or with, coast to coast, border to border, this toxic fume or plume of idiocy that has eaten so many people's brains. Limbaugh gets a caller on who doesn't agree with the pig man.
We're going to go to Chicago. This is Charles. Charles, thank you for waiting and for calling. Great to have you here. Hello.
Thanks, Rush. Rush, listen, I voted the Republican, and I really didn't want to see Obama get in office. But, you know, Rush, you're one reason to blame for this election, for the Republicans losing. First of all, you kept harping about voting for Hillary. The second big issue was the torture issue. I'm a veteran. We're not supposed to be torturing these people. This is not Nazi Germany, Red China, or North Korea. There's other ways of interrogating people. And you kept harping about it's okay or it's not really torture. And it was just more than waterboarding. Some of these prisoners were killed under torture. And it was crazy for you to keep going on and on like Levine and Hannity and Hewitt. It's like you're all brainwashed. And my last comment is, no matter what Obama does, you will still criticize him, because I believe you're brainwashed. And I hate to say it, but I think you're a brainwashed Nazi. Anyone who could believe in torture there's got to be something wrong with them.
You know,
and I know Bush wanted to keep us safe and all of that, but we're not supposed to be torturing these people.
Charles, if anybody is admitting that they are brainwashed, it would be you.
No, Rush, I don't think so.
You said at the beginning of your phone call that you didn't want Obama in there, but
that's
you
right.
voted for him because of me.
I didn't vote for him. I voted for McCain. I voted Republican.
Oh, so you're saying Republican. I turned people off.
You turned people off with all this vote for Hillary and all this BS.
That was Operation Chaos. That was to keep the chaos. That was the Democrat primary.
It didn't work, and now all we have with you, Hannity, Levine, and Hewitt, sour grapes. That's all we have. And believe me, I'm more to the right than I am to the left.
Oh, of course you are.
I am.
Of course you are. You wouldn't be calling here with all these sour grapes
tired of listening to you go on and on with this.
I don't know of anybody who died from torture. I do not ever...
We are not supposed to torture people. World War II, the Nuremberg Trials? Remember the Nuremberg Trials?
Charles...
Cross Barbie?
Charles, what is it? Barack Obama.
What's the matter with you?
Barack,
you never even served in the military.
Barack Obama.
I served in the Marine Corps and the Army.
Charles, Barack Obama is president of the United States today because of stupid, ignorant people who think like you do. You and your ignorance are the most expensive commodity this country has. You think you know everything. You don't know diddly squat. You call me a Nazi? You call me somebody who supports torture? And you want credibility on this program? You know, you're just plain embarrassing and ludicrous.
Well,
but it doesn't surprise me that you're the kind of Republican that our last candidate attracted.
Oh, shut up, you filthy pig. Look, look, Rush, if the swastika fits, wear it. Of course you're a Nazi. You crazy bastard. Of course you're a Nazi. Oh, my God. And you don't know of anyone who's died of torture. Human Rights Watch, not Human Rights Watch, but several human rights organizations based in the United States, based in Europe, based at the UN, and even military reports have indicated that as many as 100, you obese bastard, have died while being enhancingly interrogated, as you might put it. You're so out of touch with reality. I'm surprised the guy got through. Like I said, Snurdly must have been out doing a line of cocaine to let that caller on. So he talks the truth. He tells you exactly, he's very specific. Jesus, I wish I had right-wing callers like that. Most of mine can't even put a goddamn sentence together. But somebody who specifically shows you where you're a sick bastard, and all you can do, Mr. Limbaugh, is try to demean him.
It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi. That's right. You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi. I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts.
Coast to Coast, The Mike Malloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
It's about 25 before the hour. Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe is... I think it was Bob Alexander's idea, and we decided, what the hell. Talk radio has become so formulaic. The right wing side, which is 97-98% of it, is nothing but pure anti-American garbage. And the little 2-3% that makes up progressive or left or liberal side, we're constantly struggling to not drown in this tidal wave of garbage and lies and deceptions that's put out there by right-wingers. And most of us have to make sure that we figure out some way to survive, because corporate America does not want our voice on the air. It simply does not. And it doesn't have to do anything other than just ignore us. And then the little right-wing vermin, the cockroaches, can say, see, there's no market for liberal talk, which is absolutely not true. But anyway, in order to improve my attitude a little bit, I guess, we decided to come up with a new feature that's going to be free for a while, called Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. It'll be up on the website for podcast subscribers. But we're going to be doing it on the air here. Will it be on the website free for a while?
I don't know about that. See, you're asking me all these technical things.
I know stuff. We'll just have to wait and see, because we're still in the real initial stages to putting together a ass-kicking website. But anyway, let's try it. Let's listen to the first episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. It's time once again for another thrilling episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, the man with the microphone who kicks the right wing's ass down the street, around the corner, and up to your front door. This week's episode, In the Nick of Time. It had been a quiet week so far, too quiet, actually. I'd just finished reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, and caught the news on CNN, but I hadn't learned a damn thing until I switched on the computer and clicked over to Crooks and Liars, Bart Cop, and TVNewsLies.com. And then she walked in. Well, she sauntered in, really, looking like she'd just stepped off the pages of a high-class fashion magazine. And all I could think was what I wouldn't give to be the subscription card that dropped into her lap. She said her name was Rita Carrington. She got down to business right away.
Oh, Mr. Malloy, you've just got to help me.
What's the rumpus, dollface?
It's my younger brother, Reginald. He's... Oh, I just can't.
Come on, spit it out, sweetheart. You're among friend here.
He's a right-wing blogger.
Good Lord. In my line of work, we call that job the Widowmaker. Well, that's what we would call it if any of those guys were married.
It all started innocently enough a few months ago. Reggie started hanging out with the wrong crowd, staying out late, and then one night we got a phone call.
From the cops?
Oh, it was worse than that. It was from Reggie's fiancée. He'd broken off their engagement and joined the Young Republicans.
The filthy swine. They always prey on the weak, the uninformed, the terminally stupid, the really, really dumb guys, the hopelessly insane.
It just about destroyed Daddy. He can barely attend union meetings anymore. He's so ashamed. Oh, please, you've got to help me. I've nowhere else to turn. He won't come out of the basement. He just sits in front of his computer listening to podcasts of Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Hannity. And he won't eat anything unless it's breaded and deep fried. He says not only does he want to write for them, he wants to be them. We've had to take all the elastic out from his sweatpants because he's...
It's okay, baby. Calm down, calm down. I've seen that before, but we don't have much time. We don't have any time to lose. Your brother could stroke out in mid-blog. Before we headed out the door, I grabbed Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States and a couple of volumes of Chomsky. You never know. We jumped in a cab and sped over to the Carrington estate. She led me down to the basement, and there, slumped in front of the computer, amid greasy takeout boxes and empty 2-liter pop bottles, was her brother Reginald. At first he argued about everything and refused to listen to us. He just kept repeating Republican talking points over and over. So I put a DVD in his computer. It was Michael Moore's Sicko, and made him watch it twice.
4 health care lobbyists for every member of Congress, and the United States slipped to 37 in health care around the world, just slightly ahead of Slovenia.
Finally, on the second day, he started to read. He was almost through the 4th chapter of Family of Secrets, Russ Baker's expose of the Bush crime family, when you could see the light bulb go off in his head. He promised to keep reading and take better care of himself nutritionally. I told him that he'd need a lot of help in the days ahead. He couldn't undo the damage the Republicans had done to his head with just a couple of books and a balanced diet of protein, complex carbohydrates, and vitamin supplements. I gave him a list of liberal websites and forums and told him to join MikeMalloy.com for my podcasts. For only $59.40 a year, about 25 cents per show, he'd get all the support he needed. Rita walked me out to the waiting cab.
I don't know how to thank you, Mr. Malloy.
Well, I've seen worse, sweetie. Oh, and you can call me Mike. At least we got to him before he started reading Ayn Rand or Milton Friedman. Well, I'm finished here, baby, so I guess I'll just,
You know you don't have to act with me, Mike. You don't have to say anything, and you don't have to do anything. Not a thing. Oh, maybe just call me. You know how to call me, don't you, Mike? First, you have to figure out which carrier offers the best coverage and monthly service plan in your area. Then select a phone from the assortment of your chosen service provider offers. The basic plan has these useful options.
All right, cut the gab, sweetheart. Mike Malloy doesn't make time for technology.
Okay, then. Maybe just whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and...
Come here, sweetheart. Next time, Mike Malloy single-handedly takes on the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, in The Fatuous Gas Bag. Be sure to tune in again for another thrilling episode of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. Well, whoa. All right, there you go. The first episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. That was pretty good. I like that. Yeah.
That was an easy way to kill 5 minutes of program.
Yeah, it does. It eliminates looking for subjects to talk about for at least 5 minutes. Anyway, it's going to be an ongoing feature. I can't wait till we get those emails to say, that's a bunch of goddamn garbage. Some of that liberal crap. No wonder you don't have a program. Rush Limbaugh has more listeners in one county in Ohio than you have over the whole country. Right? But, So we're going to be doing occasional episodes of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. And as a matter of fact, we have two more scripts here. So let us know what you think. And don't forget the part in there where it talks about to become a subscriber to the Malloy podcasts and other goodies that will be on the website. It's only, what is it, $59.45 a year?
That's right, baby.
Jesus God, 25 cents a show. Whew. All right. What else we got? Oh yeah, today the Vermont House and Senate, Vermont, overrode the Republican Governor Jim Douglas's veto of a bill legalizing same-sex marriage in the state of Vermont, and the Washington D.C. City Council voted 12-0 today in favor of allowing same-sex marriages performed in other states to be recognized in the nation's capital. And, of course, now it's up to Congress, since Washington is... That's where they ought to have these stupid-ass right-wing tea parties. Why don't these stupid-ass right-wing tea parties take place in Washington, conducted by stupid-ass right-wing talkers? You know, with their stupid-ass little tea party thing. The only place in the United States for these stupid-ass right-wingers should focus on is Washington, D.C., if you want taxation without representation. But then again, stupid-ass right-wing talkers couldn't find their stupid-ass with both hands, so never mind. Congress may vote on whether Washington, D.C. can allow same-sex marriages to be accepted in the nation's capital. You see, it's not up to the residents of Washington, D.C. It's up to the stupid-ass Republicans and the stupid-ass Congress. Have I said stupid-ass enough? So far this week, we have Iowa, or was that last week? Time just rips by when you're having fun watching all this stuff. Iowa, Vermont, who else now? Massachusetts and what's the fourth state that allows same-sex marriage? I'm just drawing a complete blank. I love some of the statements, and I'll share one with you when we come back from this crazy Tony Perkins, who definitely needs to come out of the closet and stop kicking the ass of his own sexual orientation. Maybe someday he will. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Years to build, now it's coming down. If this were a movie, I'd say the acting's pretty bad. Everyone's stiff. The dialogue's so sad. If this were a movie.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour on the Malloy program, and probably where you are too. So, same-sex marriages now are a step closer in, or marriage rights, I should say, a step closer in the District of Columbia. Also, the state of Vermont, the Vermont's House and Senate, overrode the veto by the Republican Governor Jim Douglas, the veto of a bill legalizing same-sex marriage in that state. And, you know, and so it goes. The four states recognizing same-sex marriages now, are Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, and Vermont. California did until the right-wing religious crazies got their hands on I want to say plebiscite, but half the audience would know what I'm talking about, the right-wing half. It must be rough for these right-wing Christian psychopaths. And they still don't get it. They still don't get it, do they? That they don't have to perform these marriages in their little holy sanctuaries where normal people are told to stay out because they happen to love somebody of the same sex in a way that the Christian nutballs think is, ooh, dirty. Where's the live and let live attitude with these bastards? People like Tony Perkins and Phyllis Schlafly and the rest of these pigs who just continue to pump out their form of lying propaganda, just like this crazy man Beck and Limbaugh and the rest of them pump out their political lies. Tony Perkins pumps out the lies regarding folks who happen to be gay. You know, how many times have you heard that old saw, they're going to force our churches to take queer preachers, they're going to force our schools to bring in gay teachers who will teach the children how to become gay. Oh my God, these people make me sick. How did our country produce this kind of roach vermin? How? Tony Perkins today on the news of Vermont. Same-sex marriage, quote, quote, that's the way he wrote it, is a movement driven by wealthy homosexual activists and a liberal elite determined to destroy not only the institution of marriage, but democracy as well. Time and again, we see when citizens have the opportunity to vote at the ballot box, they consistently opt to support traditional marriage. The radical left wants to destroy the traditional union of one man and one woman across the country, and they will not rest until they do so. The marriage amendment movement has been many times more successful than the same-sex marriage movement. Blah! Blah! Jesus, God. For the openly gay conservative blogger Andrew Sullivan, the ruling by the city council in Washington, D.C., while preliminary, is, according to Andrew, quote, enough reason to celebrate, unquote. Andrew Sullivan went on to say, quote, I have a chance to be legally married in the place I live for 8 months of the year. Now, just think for a minute how many heterosexuals have ever asked themselves this question, even immigrating to foreign countries, let alone moving from one state to another. This is enough for me right now. It's been such a long journey, but we can see the mountaintop now. End quote. That's Andrew Sullivan. This is a guy who consistently, as a right-wing, politically conservative right-wing commentator in this country, Andrew Sullivan has done his share to absolutely trample the political and human rights of gay folk. People who are just like him. Why did he do it? Because he's a goddamn opportunist. Now all of a sudden Andrew Sullivan has discovered, not now, but a couple of years ago, he discovered that maybe he could get more mileage out of his blogs and columns if he came out of the closet in which he'd been hiding for so many years. Well, good on you, Andrew. I'm glad you decided to support the idea of so-called gay marriage. There is no such thing as gay marriage. Marriage is marriage. If two people want to stand before a representative of the state and decide to form a legal binding contract between the two of them, why do you call it gay or hetero or whatever? It's a marriage. If some freak-ass church doesn't want to recognize, fine. Fine, don't recognize it. How many Christian churches recognize the supremacy of Allah or the teachings of Muhammad? None. So how many freakish churches have to recognize a marriage between two gay people? None. Sit in your sanctuaries and talk to each other and tell each other how morally superior you are. Do that on Sundays. Lord. Do I sound like I'm pissed off? Well, it you know, it's an issue to me that, never should have been an issue. It just shouldn't. And why do we call it gay marriage? Why do we call it not gay marriage? I mean, what's up with that? Our dear leader made a stop in Iraq today and had some things to say to the troops there and to the government of Iraq. But I think there was one thing that he left out. At least it hasn't been reported on the electric television or the blog sites or the internets or any of your usual media outlets. And we'll talk about what he left out when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. All right, we've had enough requests that, we will go ahead and rerun Mike Malloy Gumshoe at the bottom of the next hour, not this hour, but the third hour tonight for folks who, you know, I'm not sure how the audience here recycles, but I doubt seriously if people listen all 3 hours. So, unless you're doing the podcast, in which case it's not 3 hours. It's more like I don't know what, 2 hours, when we eliminate all the breaks from the podcast. But in response to a surprising number of requests here, we will we'll redo it next hour, bottom of next hour. Now, regarding the news today about the state of Vermont, the elected representatives of the people overriding the Republican governor's veto and deciding that in the state of Vermont, marriage is legal for anyone who wants to get married as long as they meet the age requirement and possibly the separation regarding their familial connections. I mean, I doubt seriously if brother would like to marry sister in that state. So the state does have an interest in preventing close relatives from marrying simply because of the something that the right-wingers don't have a clue about, and that is natural selection, how genetic abnormalities may select themselves to the surface if there is too close of an intermingling where it concerns pro-generation or something like that. So the news today that now there are four states that recognize same-sex marriages. Notice I said states, not churches, not mosques, not synagogues. The religious nutballs in America can do whatever they want, like the religious nutballs in Iraq have decided the quickest way to take care of the gay problem there. They execute homosexuals. They execute them. Now, this is relatively new wrinkle in our little experiment with democracy in Iraq, is it not? And our dear leader was there today talking to the troops and explaining to the Iraqi people that it's about time they clean up the damage that we did and restore the joy that was the cradle of civilization before two events occurred to them, both of which were horrifying. The advent of Saddam Hussein, who was put in power by the United States, and the removal of Saddam Hussein, who was removed from power by the United States. In both of those instances, the Iraqi people, of course, were horrific losers in that equation, along with the thousands upon thousands of people in this country who now have to deal with the fact that they do not any longer have their brother or father or son or nephew or niece or sister or mom in some instances, because of the insanity, the utter insanity of two Bushes. But I digress. This is from page1q.com, and the lead is interesting. It says, ground zero for the so-called war on terror is a nation where gays and lesbians live in real terror every day. Among the suffering of gay Iraqis is the regular threat and the carrying out of that threat of rape and murder. In July, CNN reported on the case of a young gay man abducted for ransom and raped daily for more than 2 weeks. More than 100 prisoners in Iraq are facing execution. Many of them, says an underground gay rights organization in the country, are believed to have been convicted of the crime, quote-unquote, of being gay. That's according to the UK-based Iraqi LGBT group who put together this report. That organization, Iraqi LGBT, has been banned from running activities on Iraq soil. And the London-based group believes that a total of 120 executions are imminent. They're calling on the UK government, international human rights groups, and the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva to intervene with due speed to prevent what is referred to as this tragic miscarriage of justice from going ahead. In addition to the execution of those suspected of or found guilty of being gay, the execution rate in Iraq is skyrocketing. In 2008, 285 people were sentenced to death. In 2007, 33 were executed. The actual figure, according to Iraqi LGBT, could be much higher, and there are no official statistics for the number of prisoners facing execution. But the fact that CNN reported on the case of young gay people in Iraq is interesting in itself. I wonder, I did see something, and I think it was today or yesterday on CNN, I think it was CNN, about the kind of secrecy that gay men, it didn't discuss lesbian women, but gay men have to involve themselves in order to stay alive in Iraq. and interviewed a couple of gay men, I think a couple, and of course blurred out their faces, pixelated their faces so that they couldn't be identified, and then arrested and tried and sentenced and executed. But I wonder to what extent Barack Obama talks with the leadership of Iraq that we installed about human rights abuses. You know, a lot of people say, Jesus Christ, Malloy, they have more trouble over there than worrying about a bunch of queers. And, of course, the answer to that is, are you out of your mind? Who was it that said, you know, the denial of rights for one person is the denial of rights for every person? Who said that? I guess I just said it. But, you know, it was said in a much more eloquent way by someone much more eloquent than I. But the idea that a country that we have battered to the extent that we have battered Iraq, the death toll as a result of our policies toward Iraq will probably never be known. Never. Not by the Iraqi government, not by occupying forces of the U.S. military. Nobody will ever know how many Iraqis we have butchered just since 1991. Prior to that, going back to the Reagan years, when Donald Rumsfeld and Saddam Hussein formed an alliance to provide Saddam Hussein with poison substances that he could use to kill Kurds who were irritating the hell out of the U.S. government vis-a-vis Turkey. Turkey's complaints were just, you know, Turkey was a NATO ally, believe it or not, and had to kill those Kurds. Kurds have just been an absolute pain in the ass to so many people in that part of the world. So Rumsfeld, being the type of thrill killer that he was and always shall be until he steps off this mortal coil, was sent over there to cut a deal with Saddam to provide him with the kind of poisonous gas and equipment to murder masses of people that the Nazis used to wipe out 6 million Jews. These circles are very tight to a secret, trust me. Donald Rumsfeld was the messenger who took that weaponry to Saddam. So the Iraqi people have suffered long before George Herbert Walker Bush decided to declare that his was bigger than Saddam's and invade the country, and then till George W. Bush decided to declare that his was bigger than his daddy's and decided to invade again. You know, before all this, the Iraqi people have had to deal with slaughter from the United States for decades, if not generations. So I sometimes wonder if 100 years from now, if there's still a planet Earth and there's still people around, if entering into Iraqi literature and art will be the tales and depictions of what happened because of their relationship with us.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. NPR's All Things Considered today had a report by, I think it was Mark Danner. Corey Flintoff was the reporter on this. It was a report written by Mark Danner, a journalism professor, published a report in the New York Review of Books. And the report is about the International Committee of the Red Cross, the ICRC, detailing how medical personnel who monitored the CIA's torture of detainees at the so-called black sites around the world violated medical ethics. This is it's just more horrifying stuff. The ICRC report details incidents of sleep deprivation, extensive beating, immersion in cold water, suffocation by water, the kind of stuff that was perpetrated against the Jews at the death camps, the torture camps in Germany and Poland during World War II. Danner told NPR's Michelle Norris, quote, "The principal finding is that the Red Cross, which is the guardian of the Geneva Convention, finds and declares bluntly that the interrogation procedures used constitute torture and constitute cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment." The report was based on interviews conducted by Red Cross officials with 14 detainees. Now, this is a part that is so disturbing to me, and perhaps you too. The International Committee of the Red Cross found that medical professionals helped interrogate terrorism suspects who were tortured in overseas CIA prisons. A newly revealed report from the ICRC found that medical personnel monitored prisoners and advised interrogators on how much abuse the prisoners could take. Experts say the medical ethics issues raised by the CIA torture allegations are about power and conflicting loyalties, as well as violations of the physician's oath to, quote, do no harm. The ICRC report was based on statements from 14 prisoners who were held in CIA prisons overseas before being sent to Guantanamo in 2006. The prisoners said that medical personnel were on hand when they were stripped naked, beaten, shackled for days in stress positions, subjected to the practice of controlled drowning, commonly known as waterboarding. Red Cross investigators wrote that one job of the health workers was apparently to monitor prisoners' vital signs during torture. In one case of controlled drowning, quote, it was alleged that health personnel actively monitored a detainee's oxygen saturation using what the description of the detainee, of a device placed over the finger appeared to be a pulse oximeter, end quote. In some cases, the Red Cross said health personnel advised interrogators to stop procedures that threatened to do permanent damage to the detainees, but only to keep them from being so impaired that the interrogations would have to end. One prisoner alleged that after a period of, quote, prolonged stress standing, a health person intervened to prevent further use of the method, but told him that, I look after your body only because we need you for information, end quote. Bioethicist Nancy Berlinger points out that the reports don't specify whether the health workers were doctors or less highly trained personnel, such as military paramedics or emergency medical technicians. But she says, the ethics are the same for all health professionals. They're all guided by the principle of do no harm. Physicians have more guidance in this area, but it includes EMTs and paraprofessionals as well. Berlinger says that health workers who are also military personnel could be faced with the problem of dual loyalties as soldiers and as healers. She says, you're in the military. You don't have a lot of power in the military chain of command, but if you've been trained as a medic, your skills are not to be used to harm people. The report also says that health personnel took care of prisoners, sometimes treating injuries resulting from torture, or simply dealing with common ailments. Prisoners reported that such care was appropriate and satisfactory, but Berlinger notes that it raises another kind of ethical problem. She likens it to a civilian situation in which a doctor may be treating a patient for a cold, but sees signs of domestic abuse. She asks, if you are a conscientious professional and you see that a person is being mistreated in some way, shouldn't you report it? Can you use your chain of command, either military or medical, to stop the abuse? Red Cross investigators wrote the report in 2007, but its contents were kept secret until this week when it was posted on the website of New York Review of Books by journalist Mark Danner. Danner wrote about the report last month, and New Yorker writer Jane Mayer revealed much of its contents in a 2008 book titled The Dark Side. But this is the first time the involvement of medical personnel has been made public. So that's what we train our young medics to do. Think about that for a second during the break, okay? Jones.
is the outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, you're listening to the Malloy Program. From Prairie to Tonight, the subject line is, wash all your troubles away with some of Granny's lye soap. Prairie 2 writes, oh, by the way, if you don't know, he is our economics correspondent. He writes, number of dry carrier ships that are being mothballed worldwide has increased significantly again last month, indicating a continuing downturn in global trade. The G20 pledged $1.2 trillion to the International Monetary Fund, but is questionable whether this is going to do anything to increase trade in time to stave off collapse. Lack of trade will likely impact the quarterly profit loss, or rather the loss and bigger loss, statements of large American companies in the coming weeks. The stock market has already been moving briskly downward, with information trickling out about how much the big banks are hiding in toxic assets. With the change in federal accounting standards, hiding these assets is now a possible without committing too many felonies, and it has spooked investors. I guess that's what you mean, Prairie 2. He goes on, the media is fixated on urban gang members being rounded up by the FBI for participation in schemes to arrange fraudulent loans using crooked appraisers and complicit loan officers. These are home loans. They are ignoring the skyscrapers and shopping malls that are now selling for half what they have owed on them. Venture capitalists also engaged in practices that saddled companies with billions in debt that will have to be written down in Chapter 11, billions that good Republicans walked away with and get to keep. But the former gangbanger that cleared $100,000 flipping a house to somebody who never made the payments is what is all over the news tonight. The only so-called bright spot is that consumer debt is going down, but this reduction is concentrated in revolving credit. Consumers are finding their limits cut dramatically, even if they haven't joined the swelling ranks of the jobless. More companies are planning layoffs and cutbacks. Desperate to find some indicator that factory activity is picking up, the analysts are pointing to an upswing in the price of tallow used for soap making. Given what has been going on for the last 8 years, I don't think that will, dare I say it, wash away our troubles. Prairie 2. And he has a very interesting poll at his website tonight, prairie2.com, prairienumeral2.com. And the poll is, what is lye soap? Is it one, something Granny cooked up out of the cement pond? Is it two, the new leading indicator used by Wall Street economists? Or is it three, the daytime programming on C-SPAN? So go to Prairie 2's website, prairienumeral2.com. And let him know you heard his commentary on this program. That's the least you can do. I mean, come on. All this talk about staying away from prosecuting Bush and Cheney. Do you remember Alberto Fujimori, the former president of Venezuela? I'm sorry, not Venezuela. In Chile, right? Where was he? Where was he the president? Jesus Christ! Oh my God! I'm drawing a complete blank here. Or Peru? That's right. God, just the dateline on the article in the New York Times is Caracas, Venezuela. Just another brain fart, you know. It just happens. The former president of Peru. Anyway, a three-judge panel of that country's Supreme Court today convicted him of human rights abuses and sentenced him to 25 years in prison. The abuses included the killing of 25 people by a military death squad created by Fujimori in the early 1990s. When the country was locked in a bloody conflict with Maoist rebels. a woman named Gisela Ortiz is quoted in the Times as saying, "We feel completely satisfied." Her brother, a student, was one of the death squad's victims in 1992. She says the criminal apparatus that was used to commit these crimes has been exposed. And this is interesting. It says specialists in international human rights law closely followed the case because of its implications for other former or current heads of state who might face charges of war crimes and other abuses. Mr. Fujimori was convicted of murder, aggravated kidnapping and battery, as well as crimes against humanity. Think about that now, okay? Aggravated kidnapping. What do you call what the Bush crime family perpetrated against so many people globally? How many people were swept up or sold to the Bush crime family by opportunists like, members of the Taliban who said, "Oh, I have a terrorist here for you"? How many instances of aggravated kidnapping did the Bush crime family get involved in, as well as its crimes against humanity? The verdict, which Fujimori said he would appeal, follows a long saga. Fujimori fled to Japan in 2000, arrived in Chile in 2005 with a plan to return to power in Peru, only to be extradited to Chile in 2007 to stand trial. The chief judge of this three-judge panel said, quote, "The charges have been proved beyond all reasonable doubt," end quote. Now, in a previous case, Fujimori had already been sentenced to 6 years in prison for ordering an illegal search. I wonder if AT&T or Sprint or Verizon helped him. 6 years in prison for ordering an illegal search. A search of the residence of the wife of Vladimiro Montesinos, a former intelligence chief, with that sentence to run concurrently with a 25-year sentence handed down on Tuesday. Less the time Mr. Fujimori has served since his extradition 2 years ago, he could remain in prison until 2032. He is currently 70 years old. There's more. The verdict came after a trial that lasted more than a year was broadcast on television in Peru. Among other things, the judges found Fujimori guilty of the murder of 15 people, including an 8-year-old boy, at a barbecue in the Barrios Altos area of Lima, and of 10 people who were abducted in 1992. Their bodies were found a year later outside Lima. The killings were carried out by a shadowy squad of paramilitary intelligence officers known as the Colina Group. At his trial, Fujimori said he had not authorized the murders or kidnappings. He said, quote, "I had to govern from hell. That is why I'm being judged," end quote. The panel of judges also found him guilty of overseeing the kidnappings of Gustavo Gorriti, a prominent journalist, Samuel Dyer, a businessman. Both men were later freed, plus his corruption charges, plus this, plus that. Well, Alberto Fujimori feels the not-so-swift whip of justice. I wonder if it'll ever hit George W. Bush or Dick Cheney. And the interesting part, though, is how this trial was closely monitored, I'm sure for a number of reasons, to make sure that further human rights abuses were not committed against this thug, but also to take notes so that when international human rights groups, if they do prevail upon courts to charge other former heads of state with the same type of crimes, that there is a model that they can go by. They certainly can't go by the model of the trial of Saddam Hussein or any of his cohorts in Iraq. That would be impossible, since that trial was nothing but a blood lust revenge circus. It didn't have to be, but it was. And the mere fact that Saddam Hussein was put on trial in a country that was controlled by an occupying force, I believe that is against international law, I think. Not sure, but somebody will check that and tell me, yeah, you're right, or no, you're crazier than hell. I don't know. I find it so awkward and weird and, well, those two words are enough, awkward and weird, that somebody like Alberto Fujimori, who is responsible or was charged with the deaths of 35 people, is sentenced to 25 years in prison. And the Bush crime family, both Bushes, are arguably, and not so arguably, responsible for the deaths of literally millions of people. Millions. And the sons of bitches ride their golf carts and go deep sea fishing and toss out the balls at the opening day of the Texas Rangers, right? Jesus, God.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. You know, I mentioned the other night this report by Professor Stephen Jones of thermite in the debris from the bombing of the World Trade Center. And, you know, just touched on briefly, again, my suspicion, my gut feeling, my almost full and certain knowledge based on my own, you know, just paying attention to what's out there, that the reports of what occurred on 9/11/2001 are not the real story. And as usual, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. I mean, I'm glad. As usual, I got several emails. This is from Tom. The truth should never be compromised, no matter what. I don't give a damn if radio audiences don't want to hear the truth about 9/11 anymore. You should talk about 9/11 more often. And without reservation, to do anything less would be a sellout to Limbaugh, Tom in Minneapolis. And that was kind of the flavor of most of the emails I got, because what I said was, you know, I don't think anyone cares anymore. It's just going to be consigned to the same historical rat trap as Kennedy assassination, both of them, Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, and so on and so forth. But then I got this. From a guy named Stan. He said, Mike, whenever I hear anybody on the left or right talk about evidence of thermite in the debris at the World Trade Center as a major piece of evidence that explosive charges were placed beforehand in the World Trade Center, I start to get bored and to look for something else to which to pay attention. As an 8-year welder and a metallurgical technician for 4 years at a national laboratory, I can say with some authority that if there were not evidence of thermite in the debris, I would be looking at 9/11 to be the work of something like Martians. You see, thermite starts out as a stoichiometric mixture of powdered iron oxide and powdered aluminum with a small ribbon of magnesium foil in place to act as a high-temperature fuse. The result of the reaction is to produce aluminum oxide and molten iron along with a small residue of magnesium oxide. Thermite is a great and cheap and easily produced incendiary device and crude welding device. Since there was plenty of iron in the construction of the World Trade Center, along with aluminum alloy in the building's skin, and plenty of heat from the fuel fires and the burning of upholstery, carpets, paint, etc., molten iron and aluminum oxide would have to be present in the residue. Also, if I remember correctly, the alloy of the building's skin was both aluminum and magnesium. If there were no magnesium in the skin, any magnesium residue of the size that was originally needed to fuse a thermite reaction could easily be explained by magnesium in the body of workmen's power tools and ladders, or even milk of magnesia that might have been in bathroom medicine cabinets. Again, evidence of thermite means nothing. Someone who uses the possibility of thermite without presenting other evidence of a more substantive nature is just dabbling. I wouldn't take him seriously. I will say that he is being less of a crackpot than the guy on Horowitz's side who said that the post-Iraq invasion search by the U.S. came out negative for atomic weapons because they were hidden in tunnels beneath the Tigris River. Anyone who has experienced the floods of a continental river knows that there would have to be massive tunnel systems to withstand those floods. Someone in the U.S. intelligence system who couldn't find that would have to be someone who couldn't find his ass with both hands. I know, Mike, that sometimes you have to search for things that can entertain us. The thermite in the World Trade Center thing is just too frivolous. The radioactivity that has been spread from depleted uranium missiles and burning armored vehicles in Iraq is something else, though. Some journalists, when he gets the opportunity, should ask if someone has been put in charge of Iraq, in Iraq, of assessing the damage to the Iraqi environment by radioactive weapons. If no one has, or if the results of such studies have not been made public, it suggests a cover-up in favor of the nuclear/military industry. There is no compelling need for missiles or armor to be made from uranium. Depleted uranium in conventional weapons is just a way for the nuclear industry to make money from something that is a nuisance to get rid of. If the nuclear military industry were sure that the level of radioactivity that has been spread in Iraq was negligible, it seems like it would welcome an opportunity to prove it. Since using radioactive weapons is a war crime, one would think they might want to prove the benign nature of the radioactivity. In spite of the thermite thing and a few other things, I still enjoy your show. Keep on entertaining us. Please don't use my name or email address on the air. I just don't want the potential hassle. Okay. Depleted uranium, I think, has been covered extensively, emailer. As a matter of fact, if you log on to Google and just type in depleted uranium plus Iraq, I think you will probably be overwhelmed with articles that have been published in the popular press and the not-so-popular press about what we've done to that country regarding depleted uranium. As far as the thermite, let me just say that I really don't. When you say, I know, Mike, that sometimes you have to search for things that can entertain us. Wrong. I'm not looking to entertain you, except when we do something like Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe or, some of the more obviously entertaining elements of the program. But if I'm talking about 9/11 or a report by a professor at the, Brigham Young who writes a paper on thermite found in the debris of the World Trade Center, I'm not trying to entertain you. What I'm trying to do is just pass on information that I don't think is going to make it into the popular press. And the reason I want to pass it on is so that people can either accept it or, as you have done, refute it. So it's not, if there's entertainment value to this program, great. I'm glad it does, but I'm glad it has entertainment value, but I don't dig things up specifically to entertain. It's like that line from, Goodfellas where, what's his name? Joe Pesci's character is saying to, everybody at the table, but the one guy, I think it was Ray Liotta, where he's saying to Ray's character, you think I'm funny? I'm a comedian? What? I entertain you? And then at the last minute, Liotta realizes that he's just kidding and cracks up. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
have to blame for the love that's inside us now. Still the same. And the sound we make together is the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Malloy Program. We are at the bottom of this hour. We will replay Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe for you, and we're going to open up the phones now if you have some comments. The number here is 877-99-MALLOY or 877-996-2556. A very quick flurry of responses to the to the letter I just read, the email I just read about thermite. And don't call in about it tonight, because I just don't want to go there right now. I really don't. I've made myself very clear that I don't believe any of the BS that has been put out there as the government story or the commission story, what happened on September 11th. So we're on the same page as that. But here are a couple of quick emails. Hi, Mike. I'm a scientist from MIT, and I happen to know a good bit about thermite myself. I think the email you read on your program this evening from someone skeptical about reports of thermite in connection with the 9/11 event illustrates that the person doesn't really know his ass from page 8, at least regarding thermite. In my view, the evidence presented in the article you mentioned is troubling indeed and not at all trivial. Best regards, and his name from San Diego. Bill writes, quote, Professor Jones' paper talks about nanoparticles. None of the blank coming out of this guy's mouth, the emailer, means a thing. Blah, blah, blah. So the double plus good blanker can use some polysyllabics. That doesn't mean his email has any validity. I could go on, but let him explain the presence of nanoparticles. I'll take a peer-reviewed paper with multiple authors over the faulty logic and bad information of some random right-wing welder any day. That's Bill from Ottawa. And Ibis writes, no, it was nanotech at the World Trade Center. It was a nanotech aluminum. It is not possible to make these size particles outside a military-industrial facility. God damn it, Mike, read the report. Oh, okay. And Epi writes, let it go, Malloy. None of us believe the bastards anyway. It'll just make you crazy. And then Bill, one more time, writes, like I said, it's très compliqué, but no welder's torch ever made a nanoparticle. Okay. All right. The only reason, Reg at TV News Lies, also sent me a link. Look, folks, I'm on the same page with you. I presented the guy's email as an attempt to kind of balance what I had shared with you the other night about Stephen Jones's peer-reviewed paper. And Reg writes, the conclusions regarding this is the report I mentioned last night about thermite at the Trade Center bombing site. Reg writes, the conclusions regarding the presence of large quantities of both active and inactive thermite was authored by 9 scientists working in laboratories of multiple universities using state-of-the-art equipment. The paper underwent extensive peer review and must be taken seriously, not dismissed by some bored listener. I hear you. Loud and clear. All right. Nobody wants to call in tonight? All right. Screw it. I'll do cotton reports. What'd I do? Did I do something to piss people off? What'd I do tonight, Kathy? Oh, maybe you didn't get the number. 877-996-2556. Well, maybe I'm being so entertaining that you just don't want to call in. All right. That's okay. Let me see. This is from Brian, who writes, he sent this last night and I didn't get to it. Hello, Mike and Kathy. I've lost my job and had to cancel my Nova M subscription just in time and was trying to tune in via the live and delayed webcast. But tonight I heard you saying that you didn't think there's an audience for spreading the developing facts and unanswered questions about 9/11. So I subscribed to your show again to send a tangible message to you that we need you to keep it up with the hope that you'll do it even more. I know this sounds like I'm making demands, but really I just want you to know that there is a huge audience that knows this stuff and therefore needs to know it's getting out there. Over at Daily Kos, you know, they ban such talk, and that's very, very scary. One thing I don't recall you mentioning is Operation Northwoods. Have you read that yet? Yes, I have. I think it's proof many can't refute that they'd be willing to do something so heinous to their own people. I think it was first mentioned in James Bamford's book, Body of Secrets. I also hope you'll get informed on the CFR, Rhodes Scholars, Vaccines, Bilderberg Group, yada, 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 and so on and so forth. Thanks for what you're trying to do, and best of luck, Brian. Yeah, Operation Northwoods, which I've mentioned several times on the program, is a real thing that was presented to President Kennedy, probably one of the reasons he was assassinated by the military-industrial complex in this country, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You could just Google it. Just go to Google and type in Northwoods and then sit back and read what it was. But it was a carbon copy of what happened in this country, 40 years later. It just an absolute, it followed almost to the letter. The attack of September 11th followed almost to the letter the Northwoods plan that was given to Kennedy by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Every one of the military chiefs has signed off on this plan to stage an attack on the United States and blame it on Cuba. And of course, when Kennedy found out about it, he absolutely and utterly refused to allow it to happen. And shortly after that, he was assassinated. So, okay, all right. I'm through bitching. Everybody's calling in now. That's okay. Sometimes you just need to be inspired a little bit, right? Elaine is calling from Honesdale, PA, listening online. Hey, Elaine, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I was just calling in response to one of the first thing that you talked about tonight, about how the irresponsible journalism of Fox News.
Yeah.
Anyways, I had the opportunity to, my cable went awry the day of the Pittsburgh shootings. I could only get local stations and they weren't broadcasting anything yet. I had heard it on the radio. The only other station I could get was Fox News.
Right.
They were going on and on. This is right after it first came over the wires and everything was just being reported.
Mm-hmm.
That because of Obama's gun ban and ban on ammunition, this kid felt compelled to protect. But they went on and on about Obama's gun ban. I've also heard your favorite person, Glenn Beck, talking about, mm-hmm. they talk about Obama's gun ban.
As if it were.
Obama's ammunition ban.
As if it were real.
Things,
yeah.
I don't understand how they can get away with it. That's not just.
Well, what they hide behind, Elaine, is the so-called, I say so-called because they have so perverted it and beaten it, the freedom of speech. In the first place, it demonstrates the absolute depth of the ignorance of people like Glenn Beck and his followers. A president does not pass laws. It's up to the Congress. The president will sign a law presented to him or veto, but he doesn't make law. George Bush and Dick Cheney made law, but they did it back in the bushes where nobody was watching. So this idea of a gun ban, it's one of the chestnuts that these right-wing crazy bastards bring out all the time, that somehow a Democratic president is going to do a gun ban, when in fact the only time in modern history it's ever been done has been by a Republican president. But that's why, I...
Well, didn't the Congress Supreme Court ruled just last year...
Yes.
...that you could not have a gun ban.
Absolutely. But facts, Elaine, have never gotten in the way of these poisonous bastards like Beck who honestly do want to see blood in the streets as long as it's not theirs. Hey, Elaine, I got to go. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Call us again. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
you from? Brainwashed by the military, brainwashed under duress, brainwashed by the media, brainwashed by the press, brainwashed by computer, brainwashed by mobile phone, brainwashed by the satellite, brainwashed to the bone.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
It's 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Mike is calling from Fridley, Minnesota, listening on KTNF.
Hey,
how you doing, Mike?
Good. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I listen to you every night.
Thanks.
And this is the first time I've called in, but I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
It's kind of a letdown on weekends when you're not on. You know, you were talking last night, and you touched on it a little bit tonight about some of the things in that don't add up. For example, the Kennedy assassination,
right,
and the World Trade Center. I've got another one to add to it.
Okay.
And that's the collapse of the 35W bridge in Minneapolis.
Really?
Well, the reason they said that, the excuse they gave for the bridge collapsing, they said it was a design flaw.
Right.
It was caused by the engineers that designed it. And the bridge lasted for 40 years, and I'm sure the engineers, when they built it, they assumed that nobody would ever paint it or maintain it, and the gusset plate, they say the gusset plates failed, and I'm sure that the engineers knew that nobody'd ever inspect the gusset plates. And when they did find the gusset plates bent and deformed, that nobody would replace them. So, you know, that explanation was kind of, when I heard that, it kind of made me kind of upset that it's an obvious cover-up in my eyes. And now the insurance companies did their own study, and the insurance companies blame it on lack of maintenance. On the roller bearings at the base of the bridge.
All right. Well, what is the part of this that you find sinister or you know unanswered questions or the hidden truth?
To begin with, the fact that 40 years ago they built the bridge and that it fails now, and they say that it was a defective gusset plates. And yet they have pictures of the gusset plates being bent, and I don't think they ever painted the bridge in 40 years, so the rust was really bad on the bridge.
Well, then let me ask you, what could be, what do you think might be the real story, Mike?
Well, the motivation is they want to cover up so that the governor of Minnesota can take a crack at running for president. If you recall back during the election, he was one of those people that, he was one of the chosen few that was a prime candidate to be vice president.
Right, Paul Lente?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to sound dense, but how does that connect? Saying it was his design flaw removes responsibility from Paul Lente so he can run for vice president, but how would Paul Lente have been responsible to begin with?
Well, because he's the governor of the state, and he's the one that determines. And not only that, is the lieutenant governor he made head of the Department of Transportation,
mm-hmm.
and it was their responsibility to maintain that bridge. There were other governors along the line, I'm sure.
Well,
on his watch, and he had been governor for 4 years, and they were aware of it because they did have studies that pointed up that they were having problems with that gusset plates.
Well,
instead of dealing with those gusset plates, they tried to do a cheap repair, and that cheap repair contributed to the collapse of the bridge.
Well, there's a lot of good alternative media, Mike, in Minnesota. I think, is it minpost.com? Is that the website I've been going to recently? And I would hope if mainstream media is ignoring that, which the story you just told, Mike, is nothing I've heard from mainstream media before. So if that's the case, you know, once again, I hope that alternative media will take a look at this. Mike, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Kirk is calling from Phoenix, listening to XM.
Oddly enough, we're following on a homie. I'm a Minnesotan by a long way back.
Well, there you go.
I moved far south, and it's quite different here. Thank you very much. But I had a conversation today with the gentleman, and he was of the opinion that what we're seeing right now with the economic bailout and some of the players involved is something kind of new and different in the combination of political, industrial, economic leadership, takeover, monopolization of the resources kind of thing. It makes the ham-handed antics of the National Socialist Party of the 30s look like patty cake, because they're playing with way bigger numbers and a lot more globe.
Well, that's true, and we may discover that anybody involved in this thing, whether it is in the Obama administration or the banking industry or whatever, that it is a deliberate attempt to establish the purest form of corporatism or fascism that the world has ever seen, you know? Who knows? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 25 before the hour. Now, during the first hour, we played the first episode of Mike Malloy Gumshoe, and promised a replay for the people who joined the show after the first hour. So, at this particular instant, we're going to do it for you again. It's time once again for another thrilling episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, the man with the microphone who kicks the right wing's ass down the street, around the corner, and up to your front door. This week's episode, In the Nick of Time. It had been a quiet week so far, too quiet, actually. I'd just finished reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, and caught the news on CNN, but I hadn't learned a damn thing until I switched on the computer and clicked over to Crooks and Liars, Bart Cop, and TVNewsLies.com. And then she walked in. Well, she sauntered in, really, looking like she'd just stepped off the pages of a high-class fashion magazine. And all I could think was what I wouldn't give to be the subscription card that dropped into her lap. She said her name was Rita Carrington. She got down to business right away.
Oh, Mr. Malloy, you've just got to help me.
What's the rumpus, dollface?
It's my younger brother, Reginald. He's... Oh, I just can't.
Come on, spit it out, sweetheart. You're among friend here.
He's a right-wing blogger.
Good Lord. In my line of work, we call that job the Widowmaker. Well, that's what we would call it if any of those guys were married.
It all started innocently enough a few months ago. Reggie started hanging out with the wrong crowd, staying out late, and then one night we got a phone call.
From the cops?
Oh, it was worse than that. It was from Reggie's fiancée. He'd broken off their engagement and joined the Young Republican.
The filthy swine. They always prey on the weak. the uninformed, the terminally stupid, the really, really dumb guys, the hopelessly insane.
It just about destroyed Daddy. He can barely attend union meetings anymore. He's so ashamed. Oh, please, you've got to help me. I've nowhere else to turn. He won't come out of the basement. He just sits in front of his computer listening to podcasts of Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Hannity. And he won't eat anything unless it's breaded and deep fried. He says not only does he want to write for them, he wants to be them. We've had to take all the elastic out from his sweatpants because he's...
It's okay, baby. Calm down, calm down. I've seen that before, but we don't have much time. We don't have any time to lose. Your brother could stroke out in mid-blog. Before we headed out the door, I grabbed Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States and a couple of volumes of Chomsky. You never know. We jumped in a cab and sped over to the Carrington estate. She led me down to the basement, and there, slumped in front of the computer, amid greasy takeout boxes and empty 2-liter pop bottles, was her brother Reginald. At first he argued about everything and refused to listen to us. He just kept repeating Republican talking points over and over. So I put a DVD in his computer. It was Michael Moore's Sicko, and made him watch it. Twice.
Four health care lobbyists for every member of Congress, and the United States slipped to 37 in health care around the world, just slightly ahead of Slovenia.
Finally, on the second day, he started to read. He was almost through the fourth chapter of Family of Secrets, Russ Baker's expose of the Bush crime family, when you could see the light bulb go off in his head. He promised to keep reading and take better care of himself nutritionally. I told him that he'd need a lot of help in the days ahead. He couldn't undo the damage the Republicans had done to his head with just a couple of books and a balanced diet of protein, complex carbohydrates, and vitamin supplements. I gave him a list of liberal websites and forums and told him to join MikeMalloy.com for my podcasts. For only $59.40 a year, about 25 cents per show, he'd get all the support he needed. Rita walked me out to the waiting cab.
I don't know how to thank you, Mr. Malloy.
Well, I've seen worse, sweetie. Oh, and you can call me Mike. At least we got to him before he started reading Ayn Rand or Milton Friedman. Well, I'm finished here, baby, so I guess I'll just,
You know you don't have to act with me, Mike. You don't have to say anything, and you don't have to do anything. Not a thing. Oh, maybe just call me. You know how to call me, don't you, Mike? First, you have to figure out which carrier offers the best coverage and monthly service plan in your area. Then select a phone from the assortment of your chosen service provider offers. The basic plan has these useful options.
All right, cut the gab, sweetheart. Mike Malloy doesn't make time for technology.
Okay, then. Maybe just whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and...
Come here, sweetheart. Next time, Mike Malloy single-handedly takes on the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, in The Fatuous Gas Bag. Be sure to tune in again for another thrilling episode of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. Isn't that fun? That was written by Bob Alexander and performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. One more email tonight on the 9/11 stuff. It's from Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. He writes, regarding 9/11, maybe the bigger question is why intelligence failed. A question not really resolved by the 9/11 Commission report. And why, as the planes were being hijacked, there was no immediate air defense response. Part of the reason, which the 9/11 Commission was sure to avoid, is that the Department of Defense, over the course of the Cold War, gradually and intentionally rewrote its mandate from territorial defense to military expansion around the world. At the time of the attacks, there were probably more fighter aircraft in the Persian Gulf than on all the coastal defense installations of the eastern United States. There's a stronger case for indifferent negligence than for active malevolence on the part of the Bush-Cheney government. But the 9/11 Commission, by stating at the outset that it was not going to apportion blame, compromised all avenues for exploring that negligence and compromised its own already dubious integrity. In the same way that the Warren Commission steered the evidence to a predetermined lone gunman theory, The 9/11 Commission steered its conclusions toward the principles of interintelligence rivalries and lack of communication, which inevitably would lead to an increase in intelligence and defense budgets already swollen by privatization. Michael. Yeah, that certainly is one of the two leading possibilities of what happened, or explanations, I should say, of what happened. And I, you know, I still lean, I guess, Michael, I lean toward the malevolent factor rather than the incompetent factor. Although I'm sure that an argument could be made that your point of view is will turn out to be, maybe history will determine, your point of view is the more valid. But because of what I have seen in the past 8 years of this filthy Bush administration and its policies, and the fact that they are malevolent, that there is no redeeming quality whatsoever that I could find in anything that they did, starting with the manner in which Bush became president of the United States. That was a judicial coup. And from that point on, the fact that they took office with zero legitimacy means that they would do anything whatsoever to retain the power, to keep the American public from coming out of the ether. And as the PNAC boys stated categorically, what this country needed was another Pearl Harbor. So your point of view, Michael, may be the one that turns out to be the truth. But the idea or the theory or the suspicion that these sons of bitches were as vicious and vile, only without the, pardon the word, guts or courage of an Adolf Hitler, they were pretty much the same. They just, as I said before, one night, they just didn't have the strength of their convictions to pull the trigger the way Hitler did, right? Who knows? Who will ever know, right? Dave is calling from Rotul, Illinois, listening on XM. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. Yes, sir. Here you are.
Oh, I remember you from the Chicago days. That's going back a little bit, but
yeah, it is.
I got a new car in September, and part of the deal was XM, and then I discovered you one night, and then you went to 3 hours, and I just was like, I got to keep XM because I can listen to Mike Malloy show.
Yay! So there you go.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. The caller of the Limbaugh show, that tape you played earlier was just amazing. Occasionally somebody gets through, but anyway, I got a story for you.
All right.
I thought you might find interesting. Part of XM is, of course, you get a lot of right wing radio too, as much
right.
as you can stand, and then some.
Right.
So I was listening to the Levin show a couple of weeks ago, and he was going on about the Paris Doctrine and how the Obama administration was going to take him off the air. So I just was sitting here, and I just
hey, like, can you, Dave, hold on a second, all right?
Sure.
I wasn't watching the clock. We got a break. Just stay right there. Hold the thought.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll come right back and pick you up on the other side of the break.
People's shroud, remember. No refuge and no hiding place for non-members of the master race. Whole nations enslaved and debased, remember. Blood and toil and sweat and tears, remember. The nightmare lasted 6 long years, remember. The world drowned in a bloody tide of war and death and genocide. 57 million died. Remember, it's happening again. It's happening again. Can't you see it's happening again?
Thanks to the usual crew tonight, plus one. K Catherine Bay for producing and engineering the program. Ben Birch, our technical advisor, Sharon Gordy. Military Affairs correspondent Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg, who are also contributors. And the writer of Mike Malloy Gumshoe, Bob Alexander. Let's see, we were talking with Dave in Ratul, Illinois. All right, Dave, thanks for holding on. Where were we? You're talking about Mark Levin.
So, yeah, I was killing some time before your show came on. I was listening to Mark Levin, who is completely over the top. He's frothing at the mouth, going on about the fairness doctrine and how the Obama's going to come and get him and pull him off the radio and all that whole sort of, you know, over my dead body nonsense. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, I got to call. I just got to take a crack at it and see if I can get on the air. So I call up, and I get through to a screener.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'd like to ask Mr. Levin if he thinks when he's taken off the air, if he and his friend Sean Hannity are going to be sent to a political re-education camp. And if so, it'll be the same camp, and we'll get to bunk together. Well, his screener pauses, and he's like, what's a political re-education camp? So I had to explain it to him that the North Vietnamese used those after they, you know, defeated the South, and they put their political opponents in there, and the best way I could put it to him is they tried to change their mind about things.
Right.
And he paused and went, oh, okay. And he put me on hold. So I'm listening, and I hear other callers, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm actually going to get on the air and get to ask this completely, you know, silly question of him.
Right.
And just as I'm getting close, I hear, boom, I've been ejected. I think Mr. Levin saw what was coming up and figured he had a wise guy coming at him.
Well, you know, I'm amazed that, you know, Levin is a real jackass, but I'm amazed, sort of, that any of these right-wing idiots are still using that, you know, this dead fairness doctrine idea. The fairness doctrine, and I've talked about this on the program before, I'll make it very quick, was designed for the three television networks. Most cities of any size had all three television networks represented in their markets. And this, the fairness doctrine was designed for television. That's A. B, there never has been any discussion anywhere about instituting the fairness doctrine for a very simple reason. It would be impossible. Over-the-air broadcasting, television, AM and FM, Sirius, XM, the Internet, where would the so-called fairness doctrine be applied? Now, the quick answer, a lot of the wise guys would say, well, Mike, we're only talking about over-the-air that requires public licenses. There is still no way in hell that the fairness doctrine could ever be reinstituted. It's another one of those straw men that these right-wing jerkballs love to toss out there to get their audience all upset so that they'll go pick up guns and go kill people in a church or a school or kill cops. This is the tactic that people like Mark Levin and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, this is what they use.
It's exactly like you're saying. Their behavior as of late has just been, it's gone from crazy to dangerous, and it's breathtaking, and they're just beside themselves.
Well,
I'm just like, where does it go next?
Yeah, Mark Levin is certainly one of the leaders in that crazy group. Thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate you checking in. Danny is calling from Effingham, Illinois, listening on XM. Hey, Danny.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because of the clip you played. You played the caller that called in the rush. You got him upset.
Right.
Right. Well, anybody who doesn't believe that waterboarding is torture has lost their mind. What they do is they'll strap you down on a board a little bit less narrow than your shoulders, and they'll strap you down on it, your entire body. It's a seesaw about 6 foot long. And they'll take a wet towel, cover your eyes and your nose where you can't see and you can't breathe except out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll wait till you're breathing out of your mouth. And they will pour water down your throat until you have no choice but to drink that water. So in essence, you will drown.
Right.
And your body goes into convulsions and you bleed out of every orifice in your head because you're upside down, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just don't understand. It's just like the man told Rush Limbaugh. That's torture.
Yeah, it is.
Anybody who doesn't believe that's torture, they've lost their mind. And I don't believe America should be involved in torture.
Have you seen this done, Danny?
Yes, sir, I have. I wouldn't have called you. I tried to call Rush Limbaugh. I tried to call Sean Hannity. I tried to call every last one of them. This is torture. This is extreme torture, and y'all are mistaken. I don't know where the Vietnamese learned it, but that's who taught us.
All right, you were in the military.
I can't believe John McCain didn't step in.
Yeah, you were in the military, obviously. So
I can't believe John McCain didn't step in at some point and say, "This is not America. This
right.
is not what we do." This is against the Geneva Convention. We made the Geneva Convention so our soldiers could be treated in some kind of a... The Geneva Convention was one of those deals where, oh, okay, if we capture your soldiers, we won't cut off your thumbs.
Hey, Danny.
If we capture our soldiers, we won't cut off your thumbs.
Hey, Danny. Danny, listen, we're flat out of time, and I've got to go. But I sure wish that you would call back in tomorrow when we're on the air. If you remember to do that, give us a call, because I'd like to finish this conversation. Thanks, Danny. I appreciate it. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Really, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.